We're going to be taking our reading today from the book of Peter. So it's from 1 Peter, and it's chapter 4, and it's verses 1 to 6. Here we go. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They're surprised that you do not join in their reckless wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, the title of the word today is called Walking in the Spirit or Living in the Spirit. Over the past few weeks, obviously, I've been praying and reading, and I found these verses really, really challenging. But before we get into it, I'm going to tell you a joke. Okay. Now, if you know me, I'm not the best at telling jokes, but here we go. Are you ready? There is a meaning, by the way. I'm not just throwing it in there. So here's my joke. So a pig and a chicken were walking down the road and they passed the church. They noticed that a faith charity breakfast was underway. So they were caught up in the spirit of things and the pig suggested to the chicken, "I know, let's make a contribution." "Great idea," says the chicken. "I know, we could do bacon and eggs." "Oh," says the pig, "not so fast," said the pig. "For you, think about it, it's just a contribution. But actually, for me, it's a little bit more commitment, isn't it?" And if, I hope you're laughing at that, it's a very old one. And Tim, I think I have a picture, which if you didn't understand my accent or get it, I think might understand a little bit more. So the chicken, his was a contribution, but actually for the pig, it's a little bit more commitment in bacon and eggs. So I hope you're laughing. There's a joke of the week for you. An oldie goldie. But what does that mean? Peter is talking to Christians. And in this letter, he's writing to encourage them. A lot of them would have been new Christians. And all around them, people are living a different way. They're living for themselves. They're living for now. They're living a very, what's called a hedonistic lifestyle. Everything goes and anything goes. Now, a lot of the Christians would have lived that way, but now they're Christians and living a different way. So Peter's writing to encourage them to say, "I know it's hard, guys, but listen, keep going." The first thing he addresses, and I've got 3 points today, 3 headings. My first one is attitude. And it's a bit like in the joke, really. There's a different attitude from the pig to the chicken. But in the first words, Peter sets out what it means. It's actually saying that we have to look and have the same attitude of Christ. And he's saying Christ actually suffered unto death. So that is showing us, really, he's giving us a clue that actually, being a Christian, there is a call and it may lead to losing your life. Peter, and for the people he was speaking to, it was a definite reality. And even from Ismail's testimony this morning, it's a definite reality for people today. It might not be for me and you, but for people in other parts of the world, it definitely is. And there's no bigger commitment than giving your life fully to Jesus. A little while ago, I was reading a book and it was called Insanity of Obedience by Nick Ripken. Now, Nick was a missionary in China. And during the book, he was explaining that it was a double-edged sword because when he was preaching, when he was witnessing, he jolly well knew that he knew Jesus was the only way. But if these people committed to Jesus, then actually their lives would become endangered from that moment. because the government was saying you can't be a Christian. So they really, really knew that they had to make a massive commitment there. They were putting their life on the line. And actually, I found it really interesting that actually it goes on to say that a Christian found a paper from the 1960s, and it was a secret white paper written by the Chinese government, and it actually said this: the church in China has grown too large and too deep. We cannot kill it. So despite the fact that their lives were on the line daily through witnessing to Jesus, they still made that commitment. Their attitude was one that Jesus, in his death, he made the biggest commitment, and he said in Peter's letter, he's saying we should have the same attitude. We should be ready to experience suffering in this life. And as Peter knew, people around him, people in the church, the new church, were suffering and people were losing their lives. Peter writes as well that we should arm ourselves. He says, arm yourselves with the same attitude. That very word arm suggests, doesn't it? If you're arming yourself, you're getting ready for battle, getting ready for a war. He understood that suffering was built into the purpose of being a Christian. Jesus, when he knew he was going to cross, he knew that was God's purpose for him. God has a purpose for each one of us, and it can be very painful. Jesus knew that it was going to be painful, but he yielded his will to his Father's will. And that is part of walking in the Spirit. It's not following our will, our selfish will, but it's giving our will over to the Lord, knowing and trusting him that he loves us in all things. If we have the wrong attitude, then we can be surprised when hardship comes. We're not prepared for it. We want to run from it, and we can get afraid, and doubt comes in. We start asking things like, why me, God? We start questioning. But if we trust in the Lord, it means fully giving over that to the Lord, fully trusting him and knowing that he loves us and yielding to his Spirit. We can't always live on the mountaintop. Life isn't like that. I don't know about you, but my life hasn't always been a mountaintop. It's in the valleys. And actually, when I think back, it's in those valleys that I've actually learned the most. And, you know, it's there where I've really learned to trust the Lord. My faith's been built and I've yielded to God's will. Excuse me. A lovely testimony this morning for SML. And I was listening to UCB and a testimony. I love testimonies. And it was a famous preacher, and he'd been asked, can you give your testimony? And he started off saying, when I was a child, he said, my mum and dad were devout Christians. When I was about 10, my younger brother got killed very sadly in a car crash. And it was a really nasty accident. And a car went over and it actually landed on him and killed him. And obviously his mum and dad, there's no worse fear is for a parent, but they grieved and they were really sad. But he remembers after a time that they sat him down and he said it had a profound effect on him. And they said, now we're going to choose. Yes, something horrible's happened. We could be angry, we could be bitter, but we're going to choose to serve the Lord. And we're going to yield to him because we're going to give him. We've given him our lives and we trust the Lord 100%. We're committed to him. And the preacher who was giving his testimony said from that day, his mum and dad did exactly that. And that had a profound effect on him. And he grew up knew that it was a commitment, but even through suffering that his parents went through, he saw them living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, through the valleys, trusting God. And that's not easy to do. True love costs. In fact, John Wesley, I think, said something like, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And it doesn't say when the times are good. It doesn't say when you're happy, when you feel like it. It means all the time. And that's not easy at all. Because God has a purpose for us, for each one of us. And sometimes it can be hard to stay in that. But God does call us, and we have to arm ourselves, get our attitude right, fully commit. We have to do battle. In this context, what he's saying is, what are we doing battle with? Well, we're actually doing battle with our own flesh. And that's what we desire, what we want. And we fight that with all the time. The people Peter was speaking to, they've already lived that life. It says they've been into all these sorts of things, fulfilling their flesh, whatever they want goes. But that does not lead to life. That way leads to death. So we need to have a militant attitude. And that means we have to get rid of our sin. Not just think, well, it's only a little sin. It don't matter much. Actually, we have to have an attitude to detest sin, to actually really, really turn from it, hate it, and that's an ongoing battle. It's realizing that the sin that's in our lives, and we all sin, we're not perfect, but that sin actually hinders that relationship we have with our God. If we want to live in the Spirit, we have to develop that mindset that our fleshly desires will lead to sin, and that leads to that break in the relationship with our Heavenly Father. Romans 8:13, and I love Romans. Romans is just is all full of walking in the Spirit. But this particular verse in verse 13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit," sorry, I'll start again. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." So it's life living in the Spirit, death if we live in the flesh. So the reference in verse 1, we have to arm ourselves, make sure that we have an attitude, understanding it's not always going to be easy. But there's a little bit where then Peter goes on to say that if Christians who suffer are prepared to suffer, it says we'll sin, it'll lead to sin, it will sin no more. And people can think, oh, great, it's easy this. Once I'm a Christian, once I'm full of the Spirit, then that's great. I can walk in the Spirit. But it doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that we don't have to daily bring those sins to God and walk daily with Him. We still have that choice to make. We have to choose the Spirit, and the flesh will be there, and that's a choice we have to make. It's a battle. But we have to set our minds on the course and the life that we want to lead. And that is in the Spirit with our Lord. But what do we mean by living in the Spirit? Well, as we've already touched on, it's letting go of me. It's letting go of what I desire, what I want. It's letting go of putting me at the centre of my choices and asking, actually, what do you want, God? Not what I want. But what do you want? And then yielding to His Spirit. It's putting Him in the driving seat, if you like, of your life, and yielding to Him and His Spirit. To do that, we have to be committed to Him. We have to have that good attitude of being humble before God. And I think at some point, you have to come to that point where I'm doing this wrong. I'm not doing a good job. I can't do this, Lord. You can. And it's handing the reins over to the Lord. So we have to have a good attitude. And Tim, I just want you to put up the slide with attitude. There's some quite deep truth here. So I just want to, after each part, I'm going to put up a slide. Just give us a moment to pause and really for the Spirit just to speak to you. In those first verses in Peter, he calls us to have the same attitude of Christ. We have to have a committed attitude. We have to arm our mind for battle and have a militant attitude towards sin. It's not what about what I desire, but what God wants. So, good attitude. But also, it goes on then to say, and I'm just going to read this in the King James Version. It says in verse 2, "He no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles." And it goes on to list those things. Time. We've had enough time. So these people Peter's talking to have been living that life. They've been following the flesh, But now they've got the Holy Spirit and we're choosing to live a different way. But how much time do we waste? Just for a moment, I was thinking about that during the week, about how much time we waste. So, Tim, if you're ready, there's a slide there. I was absolutely flabbergasted when this week I was looking on Facebook and this slide appeared. This slide were people rushing out to queue to get into Primark. Can you believe it? There you go. Loads and loads of people. And apparently, people were waiting 2 hours in that queue. So, 2 hours, really? What a waste of time. But that's not only the waste of time, because then it went on. And if you put the other list up, please, Tim. Actually, all of us waste time in lots of ways that we don't even think about. Just little things, and over time, they add up. So, for instance, do you know, wasting time. Do you know, the average person wastes 6 months waiting at traffic lights. Goodness me. 8 months opening junk mail. Well, I don't, because it just goes in the bin. I can't be bothered. But 8 months opening junk mail. 2 years phoning people who don't even answer the phone. And actually, 5 years waiting in lines. And I think that will have been definitely increased over this lockdown period. So, lots of wasting of time. But we also know that we've wasted a lot of time before we've known the Lord. Maybe doing things that we shouldn't have been doing, indulging our flesh, following our passions, our desires, when we've actually been in the driving seat of our life. But the people that Peter's talking to, he's saying, don't waste any more of your time. He's saying, follow and walk in the Spirit. You don't have to follow your flesh. Follow Jesus' example. But actually, what does that look like? I get it, but what does it look like? Well, do you know, walking in the Spirit is a daily job. And it can be, and obviously, it's the obvious things, isn't it? Obviously, praying, the things that build that relationship with God. Reading His Word, talking about the Gospel, witnessing with other people. It's the kingdom stuff, isn't it? And actually, it's just spending time in His presence. Just realizing God is there. Finding God's purpose for you and His will for you. It's also, in just everyday life. You know, it's about showing light and love to those around us through our actions and through our words. And actually, it's just being that person that God's calling us to be. I want to say at this point, it's very easy. And I am going to, and you know what? I think Esmail really helped me here. He started off by saying that when he was religious, when he was a Muslim, he was forced to do things, forced to pray, and it was through fear. I have to do it. If I don't, I'm going to burn in hell. And you know, that is completely the opposite of what we mean here. This is about doing, following the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We can't follow God's way. We can't truly walk in the Spirit, in our flesh, in our mind, just by our will. It's actually God who's doing it. It's about letting God do it. It's actually coming to the point, I can't do it. I can't do it in my flesh. I make a mess. And actually, it's when we come to that and then say, Lord, help me. And it's about letting Jesus do it. And it's not our duty or being religious. It's about, because we've got the Holy Spirit within us, and the Holy Spirit, if you like, motivates us, moves us to do those things. And why? It's about relationship. It's about having that relationship with Jesus and drawing you nearer to Him. God wants you to be near to Him. So obviously, if you've got the Holy Spirit, it's going to draw you to Him. And all we've got to do in our minds, get our attitude right, and then allow the Holy Spirit. And through prayer, through reading the Bible, and just being in His presence, will draw us to Him. Let me ask you this. And just as Tim's going to bring up the slide saying spirit and flesh, and it's the second one, time, let me ask you, what do you spend your time on? With whom? Are you feeding your flesh more? Are you feeding your spirit? Are you giving over that driving seat, if you like, to the Holy Spirit? Or are you still in the driving seat? So, we're going to spend the rest of your time. Are you going to be investing time into doing the will of God and letting God lead you? Doing kingdom acts, being part of God's kingdom? Or are we going to continue to spend time, wasting time, doing things of the flesh, led by my own selfish human spirit? And can I say, being led by the flesh, that is usually a selfish way to go, and we do it out of selfishness. Jesus was selfless, and when we're walking in the Spirit, it's about being selfless, not selfish. Living in the Spirit is about indulging. When we're in the flesh, we're indulging our own desires, and it's about momentary pleasure, fleeting happiness at best. And this is how people around the Christians were living at that time that Peter's talking to. And one time they'd shared in that lifestyle. Peter knew it was hard. We know it's hard because we have to live it. Even at one point says they heaped abuse on them. So they were taking abuse. Do you know, when you think about it, we have it easy, don't we, really? We're not going to lose our lives. What do people might, yeah, criticize us a bit, or, you know, I think, oh, what are you doing that for? That's the most we can hope for. But even that can be off-putting and we're fearful. But if we live in the Spirit will empower us to live out that life. It's not about us trying in our flesh. We've got to let the Holy Spirit do that. John 6:63 helps us a bit, and it says here, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. So it's quite clear, isn't it, that following the flesh, the Lord said, it counts for nothing. So it's quite a strong thing to say that, isn't it? It's not always been the most popular person, is it, being a Christian? And especially, I know in Peter's day, they had this hedonistic lifestyle. But I was thinking, really, is it that much different today? When we think about how the media portrays living. Oh, do this, buy that, that'll be fine. Do what you want, live. You only have one life, live it to the full. It's geared, isn't it, to immediate gratification, if you like. It's not about, it's completely opposing to what we're saying here. It's saying, really, that that's fleeting, but let's put into the eternal, let's lift our eyes up. It's not always about doing what's popular. It's about doing what the Holy Spirit calls us to do and convicts us of. Galatians tells us, if we're walking in the Spirit, we have a different fruit. We've got the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is a fruit that hopefully people will see in us when we're walking and living it in the Spirit. And it's not about us trying, as I said, it's about letting the Holy Spirit doing that. I remember when I was about 11, my best friend was a Catholic, very religious, went to church every week. And I absolutely, because that was my spirit drawing to that sort of thing, absolutely loved it. I loved everything she talked about. And one day we had a conversation. She was telling me about purgatory. And she was telling me that she tries to be really, really good. And if I'm not good, then when I die, I'll have to go to purgatory. And I have to go and stay there and well, ever I pay penance for these sins that I do. So then I sort of said, oh my goodness, what sins do you do? And she sort of said, you know, oh, well, sometimes I shout at my sister and sometimes I tell a lie. And I was absolutely petrified. And I went home and my friend said she tries her best to be good. And so I decided from that point on, I'm going to try my best to be good. And I did. And I tried really, really hard. But you know what? I didn't make it. And I failed miserably at it. And what I've learned over time is that we can't do it. And it's the Holy Spirit. And it's about having that genuine relationship with Jesus. And the nearer we are to him and closer to him, it does get easier because we are more like him. But even that's not because of us. That's because of him. But I definitely, parts of my life, I've been on the fence. I've had one foot in the world and one foot in sort of been trying to be a Christian. And it's the worst place ever to be. And, you know, I was trying to please God, but also please others because I am a people pleaser. And in the end, I failed miserably. And what I had to do was come to a place where I just gave it all to the Lord and said, I can't do it. Because do you know what? In Christ, there is no condemnation. We are going to sin and let him down. But that's why we have confession. We come before him and we bring all those things before him, and he's just and forgives us. And it's much easier, I found, the more closer I am to him. Not because out of duty or because I have to, but genuinely, I want to be in his presence and I want to feel close to him. And I miss that intimacy when I walk in the flesh. I was so convicted when I read this, Romans 8 and verses 5 to 8. But it really had an impact on me, and I'll explain why in a moment. Those that live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. So that's, again, their mind, their attitude, isn't it? What my mind's on, mainly on and thinking about, and my mind chooses, because our soul is that bit that decides what I'm going to be thinking on, what I'm going to be doing. When it's on the fleshly things, the things I want, and then that's what my mind is on, so that's not good. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So when I have my mind, well, guess what? It follows then that my Spirit desires. I'm following the Spirit, not my flesh. The mind is governed by the flesh. And when it is governed by the flesh, this is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those that are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Wow. I tell you what, those words just knocked me for six. And I thought, even my good works, even the things I do with the wrong attitude, even, you know, things that I possibly don't see as sin, but if I'm doing it with that wrong attitude and it comes from the flesh, when it's promoting me, when it's what I want, do you know what? It comes to nothing. It's only when we're led by the Spirit, those things that are of the Spirit, born of the Spirit, that are everlasting, that please God. So I quickly learned there is no fence, and I got off the fence, and I try to stay off the fence. We have to make that commitment. It doesn't mean that we're never going to be sinning. It means that we have a loving Father that when we do fail, when we do let him down, will be there and will forgive us. Let him be your sovereign Lord. Trust him, because he is trustworthy. Trust him with your life, with your soul. The final point, Peter goes on, and this one is, we've had attitude, we've had time. Don't waste our time. Let it be effectively used. Let's invest our time. Judgment. Peter's written that the unbelievers, the people who reject Jesus, the people who live in the flesh and just live to seek their own pleasure, well, they're going to face judgment. In the previous verse, actually, Peter assures Christians that actually there's a judgment for all people that's coming. But you know, this life promotes living for now, doesn't it? Oh, live for now, as I said earlier. You only get one life, and people feel convicted when they see that you're living a different life just by the fact that you are by the Spirit. But you know what? The sad thing is that those things are fleeting. And you know, it doesn't bring happiness in the long run. And these verses in 5 and 6, when it says that the gospel was preached to those who are dead, it means to those who were died trusting in Christ. They made their choice to live for God. They suffered in their bodies as Christ did. But you know what? They chose to live by the Holy Spirit, not for the flesh. And you know what? Peter's there coming in with a real encouragement, because what he's saying is, do you know what? They're living for now, but that's now. But do you know what? There's another life to come. And he's encouraging them, if you're suffering now, and if we're suffering now, if we're going through a difficult time, if we're really up against it, and lots of us are at times in our life, that your commitment, your trusting, your having faith in the Lord is not in vain. But do you know what? There is another life to come. And you know, when I stand before God, and I know I will, and yes, there will be judgment, not for my sins, and be very careful here, because my sins have been given to Jesus at the cross. That's not what he's talking about here. But I will stand before the Lord. But you know, I read a really lovely piece, and it said, this is about where you get your reward. This is where Jesus is going to say. And you know, this is my aim in life, to stand before God. And God, when he sees my heart, all the things that I've done of the flesh will be gone. Even the nice things, even when I prayed in a wrong manner, the things when I were lifting myself, they'll all be gone. I'll be naked before him just as I am. And you know what? He'll see everything will be gone, but the things that are gold, the things I did by the Spirit. And God that sees the heart will have judged that. And you know what? I just pray I'll hear these words. And I want him to say, welcome, good and faithful servant. And you know what?
I want my crown of righteousness. I want my reward. And that's what I'm promised.
If I walk in the Spirit, walk with Jesus every day, choosing not my way, but his way. You know, keeping a short account, giving my sins to the Lord when I let him down, and they're covered in the blood of Jesus, trusting in his faithful love, accepting his mercy and his love, letting him be Lord, letting him be sovereign. Do you know what? Then I will stand before him. Slide. Can you just put the one up, Tim, for me? And it says judgment. There's 2 Timothy. Sorry, the one where it says 2 Timothy, and it's chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Here it sums it up for me. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all of you who have longed for his appearing. Do you know what? I want to be able to say that. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. And I know you do as well. And do you know what? Isn't that a wonderful thing to expect? That although there's suffering in this life, although that it's hard, be encouraged. Do you know, that's fleeting. And there's an eternity waiting with your Lord. And you know, you're not in it alone. He walks with you and he's with you in it. And he is faithful and he is true and his love is strong and faithful. And so, walking in the Spirit, we have to have that good attitude. We have to know that suffering is coming, but be prepared. It's a battle. And don't be dismayed. That battle is against the flesh. And we have to walk in the Spirit. And we have to trust the Lord in that and give it to him. Don't waste your time. Invest your time in the things of the Lord, the eternal things in his kingdom. And do you know the judgment when you stand before God? You know that you'll be loved. Know that, you know, there'll be a reward and there'll be a crown of righteousness. And he's with it, with you all the way in it. And just to finish, something very funny I'm going to share with you. And do you know, I think everybody must have been, the Holy Spirit's been moving. I have 2 very dear sisters. And you can put the other slide up now, Tim. And we all go through it, don't we? And this sister was going through it and having a difficult time with the flesh. And she phoned the other sister, "Will you pray with me?" And she did. And she sent her this. This is a clip of her reply. And I just think it is really good. And if you look, and I'll give you a moment to read that. And she's saying there, that she must have been really in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get up on my phone because I can't see it on the screen there, but there you go. 100%, giving 100% there. And she's saying, isn't she, look, it's tricky. It's not easy. It's like, and I think she just puts it in such a funny way. You know, it's like being a teenager, isn't it? Having ADHD, cat being in control. And that's what it's like for all of us. It's not easy, but if you give 100%, walk in the Spirit 100%, you know, keep going towards that goal. And she even mentioned she'll get that crown of righteousness. And it was like, she's just summed up my sermon there. So thank you, sister. You did a real good job. So bless you. I hope you have a good way. And, you know, remember, the Lord is always with you, even in your suffering. Thank you.